Thank you, Joel. It is good to be with you here tonight. It's always good to be here with my brothers and sisters. It's good to see each one of you here. Come here to serve the Lord. Normally, this time of year, I would be planning a trip to Ethiopia. And the last few years, that trip has been with Joel. But that's not the case this time. Hopefully, the time will be soon and we can return to our missionary field. I look forward to it. I have a great love for each one of you, but I have a great love for my brothers and sisters in the missionary field. And I got to tell you, I miss them. I truly miss them. This is the last sermon for the year 2020. A year that none of us will ever forget. A year that definitely got our attention. But it helped me to focus on what's really important in life. The chaos we've seen around us this year, that's not what's important. Our Lord is what is most important. It's given me an opportunity to look at myself. Focus on myself and see where I need to improve. You know, I looked up on the internet. I wanted to see what people were saying about the year 2020. So I looked on one website and it just had people that put in one word what they thought about 2020. And I'll read a few of them to you. And I'm sure we'll have to agree with some of these, that this is the way this last year was. Overwhelming, frightening, difficult, strange, traumatic, stressful, frustrating, depressing, unprecedented, exhausting, chaotic, surreal, relentless, unpredictable, uncertain, challenging, heartbreaking, apocalyptic. And the last one that was on this list kind of surprised me. It was humbling. Humbling. Somebody could see they needed Christ in their lives. But we can't let the events of 2020 discourage us. These words I've read, they may describe 2020. But since we, the Church of Christ, we have Jesus Christ in our lives, I hope that we also can use these following words to describe 2020 and the future. Faith. Trust. Peace. Joy. Courage, hope, unity, love, compassion, strength, and forgiveness. I hope those were also with us in the year 2020. And for me personally, I have another special word to add to that list, and that's grandson. I will never forget 2020 for many reasons, but one especially is for my grandson. A gift from God, a blessing to our family. I cherish him. I thank the Lord for him. You know, in Joel's sermon this morning, he said that we need to focus on Christ. Focus on him. And we need to live for Christ. It needs to be the most important thing in our lives. We can't get caught up in the things of this world. Because if we let them, it will drag us down. My sermon tonight is about Christ. It focuses on Christ. What he has done for us, his power, his love for us, how he is so worthy to be worshiped, how we can put our complete faith and trust in him. As you will see, these things I read tonight, he was always there for his people from the very beginning. He was there for them, always. And I'm going to read several examples where we can clearly see and understand what he has done, what he is doing today, what he will do in the future for us if we remain faithful. You know, it's the things we read. There's always that qualifier for those to apply and for him to do these things for us. We must be dedicated servants. We must remain faithful to our Lord and Savior. We just celebrated Christmas, the birth of Christ. That's where I want to begin, with Christ's birth. I want to start with Mosiah chapter 1, verse 97. And this is prophesying of the birth of Christ. For behold, the time cometh, and is not far distant, that with power the Lord Omnipotent, who reigneth, which was and is from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven among the children of men, and shall dwell in a tabernacle of clay. From all eternity to all eternity. I don't understand that. I can't fathom that. I can't fathom time having never ending on both ends. But this is how it describes Christ here. And he shall come down from heaven among the children of men. We have to understand this sacrifice to be dwelling in the kingdom of heaven and come down here and suffer sickness, trials, persecution on this earth. But he was willing to do that because of his love for us. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 18 through 25. And then in chapter 2, I'll read verses 1 and 2. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. A miraculous birth of Jesus Christ. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she will bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. He came to save us from our sins. That was his purpose. That's why he was willing to come down here. Now, all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. King of the Jews, although they didn't see that he was their king, because they were looking for something else. They weren't looking for a humble servant. But he truly was King of kings and Lord of lords. He was our Savior. For us, birth is the beginning of our existence. But for Christ, that's not the case. Let's go back and look at the very beginning and see what he did before he came down on earth in the flesh. In 3 Nephi, chapter 4, verse 45. And this is Christ speaking. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And in me hath the Father glorified his name. Again, Christ, he was with the Father from the beginning. Which again, I can't understand what that beginning was. But we don't need to. We just have to believe. We see here, we're talking about two separate entities. God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But they were united, one in purpose, and everything that Christ did glorified God. Everything. I certainly can't say that, because everything I've done hasn't glorified God. But Christ did. In John, chapter 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Again, we can see this relationship between God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. In John chapter 12 and verses 49 and 50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And I know that he spoke everything exactly as the Father gave it to him. These commandments that we have before us, which are life everlasting, they will be what bring us to that eternal life, is following after these commandments that we have. Next, Christ created the heavens and the earth. In 3 Nephi chapter 4, verse 44, Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things that are in them. And in Genesis 1:1, it says very similar. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we know that God was Jesus Christ. Creation. Another thing that we can't understand. How can we imagine that you could take nothing and create this universe? I mean, you listen to astronomers and I don't know how many millions of stars there are out there. I don't even know. There's supposedly endless numbers of them. But to create anything from nothing is impossible to us. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. We see in this creation that we are, man is made in the image of God. Obviously, God and Christ are spiritual beings, but they're we are created in their image. It tells us a little bit about God. And then if we read in Genesis 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God created the dust of the ground, and he formed man from that dust. Again, something we don't understand. But he made us a living soul. Which means we will live for eternity. The soul will never die. Something else we have to thank the Lord for. His creation. Given us this opportunity of life. We know the story of Noah. It was Christ that was there. We can read in Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 through 14. And again, another example of Christ being mindful of his people. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. We see that Noah was a righteous man. A righteous man. And I don't know how many people were living on the earth at that time. But only Noah and his family were righteous. Only 8 people. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So we can also see God's judgment here, can't we? To the wicked. But my point tonight is he preserved the righteous. these eight souls. Verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Imagine that was a pretty unbelievable assignment that Noah got. When the Lord asked him to do that, when you see the read about the size of the ark, that would be quite an undertaking. But Noah was a faithful man, a righteous man. He walked with God, he believed God, he built the ark for their preservation. If we look in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 16. And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord sealed that door to preserve those righteous people for one reason, and I think he did it also so Noah would not have to do that, to make that final separation, knowing that all those people were going to be destroyed. So we see God was mindful of him and his family. And then we see, we go on in time a little bit, and we see Christ. He made a covenant with Abraham. And we can read about that in Genesis chapter 17. And verses 1 through 9. And we see here that Abraham was a righteous man. And that's why God made that covenant with him. Genesis 17, 1 through 9. And when Abram was 90 years old, and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And we know that this has come true, that he is a father of many nations. Today we don't know where all those nations are, but we know they're out there. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. We see this covenant that he made was for all time, for all generations. He made this covenant. But we know that the people still must serve God. They must continue to serve God. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. So we see here another example where the Lord was mindful of a righteous man. And we know as we read in Genesis that obviously, you know, in Noah's time, he destroyed all but eight. But we know in Abraham's time that there was many wicked people in the world at that time. But God was mindful of Abraham, and he made that covenant with him. Let's go on now to where Christ gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Now we can read about that in Exodus chapter 34 and verses 27 and 28. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. We know the story of how our Lord gave Moses those Ten Commandments. And, you know, we can read, they had the law of Moses. The Lord had given it to them. The Lord was with them, working with them. They didn't always follow him, did they? There was much turmoil, much during that time. They weren't always obedient. And they were often punished for it. But he gave them the law. Just like we have the law. We have his law that we must follow. I want to read now a few examples of how Christ was there with them, encouraging them, encouraging his people. We can read one of them in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verses 6 through 8. We see here, it says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with the people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So we see the words that the Lord gave these people. They're going to inherit this land, but the words he gave them, you know, to be strong and of good courage, to fear not, don't be afraid. You know, he was talking to these people thousands of years ago. He's talking to us today. These words are for us today. These people had this thing to deal with. We have life to deal with today. ...2020 has been an unusual year. I don't know what 2021 will be like. I don't know. But this is our cross to bear. Whatever it is, we need to be ready. But here, he's talking to us. Fear not, nor be afraid. The Lord, he will go with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. Aren't these wonderful promises to us? He will go before us. He said, he will go before thee. He's going before us now. He's preparing the way. I'm not sure what he's doing for sure. We know we have prophecies. We know some things. But I don't know what all he's doing. But he's preparing the way for us today. Whatever the future will bring, he will be there with us if we remain faithful to him. What a great promise. Mosiah chapter 5, verses 28 to 30. Therefore, lift up your heads and rejoice, and put your trust in God, in that God who is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and also that God who brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and caused that they should walk through the Red Sea on dry ground and fed them manna that they might not perish in the wilderness. And many more things did he do for them. And again, the same God hath brought our fathers out of the land of Jerusalem and hath kept and preserved his people even until now. We talked a little bit about him being the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He was with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. We know that if he hadn't parted the Red Sea, that the Egyptians would have caught them, weren't they? The Egyptians were chasing, pursuing them. But what did the Lord do? He parted the Red Sea. I've always wanted to see that. I've always wanted to see what that looked like, what a miraculous thing that was. Because those were his covenant people. Part of the Red Sea, and what happened? When they were through on dry land, and the Egyptians were racing through that dry ground of the Red Sea in their chariots, the waters came back down and destroyed them. The Lord protected them. He fed the house of Israel in manna and quail in the wilderness. They saw so many miracles, didn't they? Those people saw so many miracles. Unbelievable things. But they were still often weak, weren't they? Weren't always obedient. But the Lord was there with them. And it talks about the same God that brought their fathers out of the land of Jerusalem, Lehi and his family. The Lord was there with them. We know that the Lord preserved Lehi, warned him in a vision that he was going to be killed because he was prophesying against the people in Jerusalem. Warned him, led him out of Jerusalem, brought him to the Americas. Again, the Lord preserving his people. I want to read another example. In Daniel chapter 3. And in this example, it's quite clear that nothing is impossible to God. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 26. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. They had faith, didn't they? They had pretty good faith, didn't they? That they're willing to go into a fiery furnace because they have that much faith in their Lord. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. He was angry, wasn't he? He was angry. He was going to make sure that these guys were burnt up. Verse 20, he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound, and their coats, and their hose, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was so hot that they were killed on the outside. These three men were inside there. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. They were being protected against those elements that normally man would have no power over. We've seen the things of nature. We've seen the wildfires. Man can't stop them. We can't slow them down. Hurricanes, tornadoes. Man does not have power over them. But God does. God does. Then Nebuchadnezzar came forth to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. He was probably quite surprised, wasn't he? These men made this declaration that they had faith in their Lord. I'm sure he realized, that Nebuchadnezzar realized, that there certainly was a higher power out there. We see from these scriptures we've read of how Christ was there from the very beginning. He's always been there for his children. We've read several examples tonight. And he's promised that he'll always be there for us. I want to go back now again to where when Christ walked on earth. And I want to look at 3 Nephi, chapter 7, and verses 5 and 6. Behold, I say unto you, that the law is fulfilled that was given unto Moses. Behold, I am he that gave the law, and I am he which covenanted with my people Israel. Therefore the law in me is fulfilled, for I have come to fulfill the law, therefore it hath an end. We see the law of Moses in Christ. When Christ came down here and walked on earth, the law of Moses had an end. It was fulfilled. He talks in this scripture, he talks about that he was the one who gave the law to Moses, and he was the one that made that covenant with Israel. And we know that when this law of Moses came to an end, that there was no more need for sacrifices. We know in the old Mosaic law that they had to have blood sacrifices on a regular basis. And we know that when they made that sacrifice, It had to be a perfect lamb, didn't it? Perfect. To make that sacrifice. But with Christ, there's no more need for those sacrifices. He was that final sacrifice. But we know that we still must keep the commandments. We know that we must still follow after the Ten Commandments. That's part of Christ's moral law that will continue on forever. And now I would like to go back to, I read earlier in 3 Nephi chapter 4. I would like to go back there again and read some more in that passage. 3 Nephi 4, and I'm going to read verses 42 to 52. Again, we have Christ speaking here. Yea, verily I say unto you, if ye will come unto me, ye shall have eternal life. Behold, mine arm of mercy is extended towards you, and whosoever will come, him will I receive, and blessed are they which come unto me. And when we come unto Christ, it means we're going to follow him. We're going to follow. We've made a commitment to follow him. We read these next two verses earlier. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning, and I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And in me hath the Father glorified his name. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as have received me, to them have I given to become the sons of God. And even so will I too, as many as shall receive on my name. For behold, by me redemption cometh, and in me the law of Moses is fulfilled. I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the light of the world. We know that Christ is that perfect light. That perfect light that we are to follow, our perfect example. And ye shall offer up unto me no more shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. And I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So we see that Christ made that last and final blood sacrifice. And now our sacrifice is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. A living sacrifice. We're to be humble and sincere, having complete sorrow for our sin. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. Behold, I have come unto the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and come unto me as a little child, will I receive. For if such is the kingdom of God, behold, for such I have laid down my life and have taken it up again. Therefore, repent and come unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be saved. Again, here the Lord gives us a little bit more of his commandments, that we must repent of our sins in a humble and sincere manner. Come as a little child. And we know that's how the little children are. They're humble. They're innocent. They look to their parents for everything. I know Titus, he looks to mom and dad. If he needs a new diaper, needs something to eat, if he's cold, he looks to them. We're to look to Christ. We're to look to Christ. Be like a little child. Look to our Lord and Savior. for everything we need in life. I want to read another scripture about Christ's atonement in Alma chapter 16. And we'll read verses 206 to 211. And now, behold, I will testify unto you of myself that these things are true. Behold, I say unto you that I do know that Christ shall come from among the children of men to take upon him the transgressions of his people, and that he shall atone for the sins of the world, for the Lord God has spoken it. For it be expedient that atonement should be made, for according to the great plan of the eternal God, there must be an atonement made, or else all mankind must unavoidably perish. This was God's plan from the very beginning. This is the way it must be. Yea, all are hardened, yea, all are fallen, and are lost, and must perish, except it be through the atonement which is expedient should be made. For it is expedient that there should be a great and last sacrifice, yea, not a sacrifice of man, neither of beast, neither of any manner of fowl, for it shall not be a human sacrifice, but it must be an infinite and eternal sacrifice. Now there is not any man that can sacrifice his own blood, which will atone for the sins of another. We know that it had to be a perfect lamb. And the only perfect lamb was Jesus Christ. Because the scriptures tell us that all have sinned. All have come short except for Jesus Christ. He was the one that had to make that sacrifice. And he was willing to do that. He was willing to suffer and die on that cross. From what I hear, it's one of the most horrible deaths that there is. Verse, I want to read verse 215. And behold, this is the whole meaning of the law, every whit pointing to that great and last sacrifice. And that great and last sacrifice will be the Son of God, yea, infinite and eternal. And thus he shall bring salvation to all those who shall believe on his name. So we see this salvation comes. Doesn't say to the whole world, does it? It says that to all those who shall believe on his name and follow. Believe and follow him. We've talked about what Christ has done for his people. I know there are many unknown things in the future. But we know that Christ will always be there for us. He'll never abandon us if we remain faithful to him. In John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, and verses 26 and 27. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We see when Christ, when he ascended back into heaven, he left this Comforter for us. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. It says the Spirit of Truth. And it says that it dwells within you and shall be in you. When we received that gift of the Holy Ghost, it became part of us. It dwells inside of us. It's not something external. It's there. It's with us. It's part of us. And if we will listen to it, the Holy Spirit will speak to us in different ways. I don't know how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. But I know that I know the Holy Spirit leads me. And I know there's been times when I know the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me something. And I didn't listen. I knew I should not do this. The Holy Spirit was telling me, but I did anyway. The Holy Spirit was trying to warn me. It'll tell us the things we are supposed to do, and it'll tell us the things we're not supposed to do. We have to be in tune with it, because it's there. It's there. And every one of you that was baptized and received that gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands, it's part of you. We have to listen to it. It will lead us to eternal life. But we don't have to listen to it. Like I just told you, I haven't always listened to it. Even though I knew it was trying to tell me something. Because the carnal flesh, I want to do something else. But it's there. It'll lead us to that eternal life if we will listen to it. I want to turn over to Ether. Chapter 5, verse 4. Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. If we're following Christ, if we're listening to that Holy Spirit, if we're striving daily to grow stronger spiritually, we can have that hope. That hope for a better world, that hope for eternal life. A great promise that the Lord has given unto us. I looked up some quotes, trying to find some quotes, you know, from 2020. I want to close by reading one quote. I don't know if it's original or what, but I think it's good. Very short, one sentence quote. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. All that matters is where you're going. We've come from different places. We've all had different sins in our lives. But what's important is where we're going. And I hope and pray that we're all going in the right direction. I thank you for your time.